Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا هو رسوله. Seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Openly acknowledging that Allah is the one God and there are no partners with Allah. And that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of Allah. Greetings of peace to everyone and Ramadan Mubarak. Ramadan Mubarak, yes. And these are the last 10 days and I pray that we have all done our very best. Put our minds into the very best of thinking mode. Of the thinking mode and relating to life in the best way. Tonight, welcome to Community Buzz, CWSC Community Buzz. And the question is, have you heard? And community developmental stages. On community developmental stages, we will be discussing relationships. Yes. How, you know, we've been going on about friends, last week was more about relationships as those relations, admitting certain things about how relations get started and how we maintain them, and then what we do once we are friends or once we are acquaintances or even in after we've married or being business partners or being on teams relating to one another. So we're going to get more into the human relations through the relationship. It must be important because the businesses that I've been with, they've had a human relations department, and it deals with a human relation. And that from Quran, Almighty God speaks of us as being created a family. And that is the first relationship that we have. The mother-child, then the mother-child, father-child relationship. Then we as children grow up and we have siblings sometimes or cousins or some kind of relationship with another human being beyond our parents. Then we form friendship without even calling it that. We just find someone of like nature and we get along. Even if we have a disagreement sometimes, it doesn't break up the friendship unless we get encouraged by someone else and then it becomes a three-party thing and a four-party, a five-party, and then someone in the group doesn't like the other and they've been influenced by their environmental experiences. Children, it's not a matter of not liking someone. If you don't have that a persona, if I can call it that, as a child, if a person doesn't have that, you're not going to waste time. You're not going to tarry. You'll move on to the next child if someone else shows up. And it's that feeling that you get as a child. Now, I must say, as a child, I played a lot by myself. I don't know what that says. In one instance was where my sister and my cousin, they were all older. So they played house with what we call play house. And they left in the house saying, I was the mama. And they went out running around through the trees, around through the just different things they were doing, playing, having fun with each other while they left me sitting there in this little makeshift tent. And my uncle come along, God rest his soul, thank Allah for him. He got me. He said, they'll know the next time they leave you alone. And he put me on his shoulders, took me bird hunting with him. And that was fun, riding on Uncle Jim's shoulder. So we're going to read from Quran tonight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates how we become a living soul. And that's what I want to reference. So that our soul is what is seeking that friendship and that sociability with acquaintances. And as we do that, it's a human relation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being and made the human being in a proportioned manner. And we're speaking of the soul. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is Surah 38, Sa'd, is in today's juice. As we enter, we will soon be entering another day and going into juice 24 of the 30 days, inshallah. So I'm going to combine ayat 71. Hold on one moment here. Ayat 71, that's verse 71 of Surah Al-Sa'd, 38th Surah of Quran. All right. Seeking refuge with Allah. I'm going to read the Arabiya, mashallah. Bear with me, all right? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال ربك قال ربك للملائكة إني خالق بشرا من طين فإذا سويته ونفخت فيه من روحي فقعوا له ساجدين صدق الله العظيم. And Allah comes as Yusuf Ali shows, seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind. Behold, your Lord said to the angels, I am about to create man from clay. When I have fashioned him in due proportion, close parenthesis, and breathe into him of my spirit, fall you down in obeisance unto him. That lets us know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us life. And this breath that we have circulating in our physical body, physical form, I mean, we take a breath in, and we can only hold it so long. Then when we blow it out, we have to take one back in. So we are inspiring and expiring regularly. But it keeps our flesh healthy. It keeps our thinking possible. It makes our thinking possible and our feeling and our sight and our hearing. Everything is working according to its design, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of it. Now, as Allah says about the ruh, I'm sure we've heard the words, and I'm speaking now to those who hear the prayer, the call to prayer, and we hear the word hayya. Well, that H sound is the heart, I would say the heart sound, blowing of the breath from, was the H sound, ha. And this ha, when we say hayya, we're saying it lively when we are calling ourselves to the remembrance of prayer. Come lively. Don't come dragging. Don't come hesitantly. Come lively. So the hayya, there, that ha, is the that which is speaking towards life. And the ha here is the same ha. And the ra that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in this word, the ruh. So when Allah breathes, it says breathe the breath into of Allah's spirit into us, well, then that spirit has to have connection with the attributes of Almighty God. So as we are, Almighty God is all seeing, all hearing, all knowing, all wise. So we have been given hearing, sight, feeling, or sensation, or the sensitivity, and thinking. So you can say that that's all attributed to Almighty God's attributes. So as we utilize these faculties, as I'm speaking right now, and we read words and we come to understand, because then we define those words, but we are communicating with one another. We can only talk to our pets, and you know we have pets. We can only talk to our pets so long, you know, especially if you have fish for your pet. or even birds. So if you have a cat, maybe you get a little more attention, or a dog, you get a little more attention, or a horse, you get a little more attention. It is as though they are understanding what you're saying. But as a norm for us to speak to one another, to have the attention or the attentiveness of one another, that means we're showing an interest in one another. And when we show that interest, it has to be maintained, right? So in maintaining that interest, we want to connect first on the basis of who created us, acknowledging that and having that sense of agreement that, yes, we were created by the Creator, and, yes, we have certain responsibilities with these faculties that we've been given. And we use these faculties to establish the friendship, the relationship, or just say the human relations, have human relations. Whether we're signing a contract, agreement, still human relations. Whether we're meeting for the first time, it is because of human relations, ability to relate to one another, that we meet. And we have codes that we follow. And those codes are called codes of conduct. Every human being gets to know that there is a moral code of conduct. And that moral code of conduct, the first part is that we acknowledge each other's existence. We acknowledge each other's existence. How many times, perhaps you've experienced it, someone is approaching you and they will look away, or they turn and go in a different direction, or they pass you by and keep looking forward and don't give you any eye contact. Now, if you're one that will speak, because it's a two-way street, someone's coming, both are approaching one another. So we each are coming towards one another. And that human responsibility, we have the faculties, favors of our Lord. Will we deny? Will we deny that we have, that we are first human, and then that we have a responsibility to relate to one another? I know there are times where we may be frightened, but that fright has come from environmental processing of information. Environmental processing of information that's on the negative from human relations. So we're about erecting the house. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we shared this morning, turn our attention in the direction of the house. So we have to turn our attention to those factors that are connected with the house, and the house being the soul, the human soul. Those factors show themselves when we connect with one another. All right, so we're approaching one another. Say we're on the street, we're on the sidewalk. I mean, who decided to make the sidewalk? It was because studying human relations. Because of human relations and the dignity that comes with it, something to be said about living in a neighborhood and having a sidewalk so that we don't have to walk on the street if we have paved streets. And then everything is geared towards finding what is needed by the human being to make life easier for the human being. But our first post is to relate to one another. So I'm sharing that because I truly, in relating to others, I find myself eager to meet new people. And when I'm in a situation or in an environment that allows me to do that, what do you think is the first thing when we meet someone that we don't know? What do you do? What would be your first thing? Would you get their eye contact? Would you approach a group or an individual? Do you do the one-on-one over the group, walking up to a group of people and introducing? Do you introduce yourself? Or do you stand idly by and wait for someone to approach you? And are you as receptive as you would want others to be? Are you feeling, what are the thoughts, what thoughts are going on in your mind when you are in unfamiliar territory because you don't know people there, wherever the group setting is, you don't know them. But how do you get to know someone? That's the question. We are human. And how do we live out this human experience? We have to have relations. Countries have relations. But how do countries have relations? With people. They don't go the one president from one country to another do not go and speak to the building. They do not go and speak to the water. They do not go and speak to the transportation system or any other system. They don't speak to the system. They speak to the manufacturers of those systems, human relations. And we can make human relations better. And I believe, especially when we adopt the idea of hospitality is the etiquette for humanity. For humanity. Now, you know, we were speaking last week about how someone out front in a business can help or harm your business. And I just wanted to follow up on one thing from that, and this is dealing with a family business, all right? Not everyone in a family take heed to the family business, but it is a way of learning how to meet the public, how to meet other humans. We are secure in meeting one, being with one another in the family. But when the family is in a business, then we have customers, and those customers come in. So how do we treat the customers? It has to be important to the business, and especially if it's a family business. So I'm going to share this with you from our State University, and it's called AG Decision Maker. This was updated August 2016, file C6-42. It's in the PDF format. All right. So, and this is speaking about setting, so having conversation within your family, setting personal, family, and business goals for business success. Goal setting is an important exercise for achieving personal and business success. If it is part of strategic planning, stop right there. Goal setting is an important exercise for achieving personal and business success. It is part of strategic planning process. An overview of strategic planning, and this is dealing with farm businesses, and how goals fit into the process is available. The process of goal setting addresses questions like, what do I want out of life? Now, you hear that? It's saying, what do I want out of life? And it's speaking to the person. Every person can answer that. What do I want out of life? We may generically say, I want happiness, or I want to be rich. Well, that's not specifying the goal enough, but I mean, in that category, you can fine-tune it and come on down to how you're going to reach that wide goal. You want to be rich. You want to be happy. And then you have to find those things that make you happy. And again, it is in the environment of being around people. Then the next one, it says, what do I want for my family? Then what do I want my business to achieve? So that's personal, family, and business. Granted, these are big questions, all right? Just as we said, and difficult to answer. However, spending time thinking about goals provides direction to your life. Once you have established goals, they will give direction to your life, and your business goals will help you. The advice here is focus your attention and your action to achieve desired outcomes. Mobilize energy and effort. Let's think about that. Mobilize energy and effort. How much energy do you have? Is your most energetic time? Is it in the morning? We come to know ourselves. We get to know ourselves. That's our first human relations, is relating to ourselves as a human being. So we don't burn ourselves out, and we test the waters. Yes, we do. We probably are eager to rise early in the morning and go out and play. I'm talking of a child thing, right? We go out and we enjoy ourselves playing, and we have to take time, break time eating, and of course, now the regular thing will be getting up, having breakfast, coming out of our bedroom, adorning ourselves, you know, for the morning, and meeting our family and having chit-chat time and setting the goals of maybe not written down, but have an idea of what you're going to do during the day. Having the relationship with self and then with family and, of course, then friends that you've gotten acquainted with. But here it says, focus your attention and actions to achieve desired outcomes. Mobilize energy and effort. Effort includes your thinking, all right, that we don't put things off. Put some effort into what we want, what those out. Increase our persistence. Increase our persistence. In other words, whatever level of energy we apply today, apply more tomorrow. Plan on it. Whatever we got done today, there's still more to be done. There's always time, need for organization, right? Things get out of place, or things they accumulate dust, and we have to take them out of their places, dust them off, and put them back in their place. So there's always something to reach your goal, your goals. And the persistence is, many times, it's in studying, finding the right time to study. I'm one, I study early in the morning, in the wee hours of the morning. So no one is interfering with me and my studies, and I'm not interfering with anyone else in their studies, unless I interfere with them and their time to study is during the day, and mine is wee hours of the morning. And I learned how not to cram. I used to cram because I said I had accepted that of myself, that I learned better when I cram. Well, especially when you have dates and actions, and I'm talking history. All right. So increase your persistence. Now, last but not least, provide direction for developing strategies for achieving the goals. Provide direction for developing strategies. Now, in providing direction, you know, we're always having a pen and paper in our hands, right? Yes? Everybody's saying yes. We have pen and paper, a pencil and paper in our hands. And the direction for developing strategies is we're always asking questions, who, what, when, where, why, and how. And I know for myself, I have several books and, you know, those theme books, the college school books, what do you call those books? Anyway, the pages, and they're lined. And I'm always writing, and I'm always rewriting, and then rewriting before I come to a conclusion of the best thinking that I've applied to what I've written down. And sometimes I don't throw the first and second pages away, because 9 times out of 10, while I'm asleep and I dream, and I get up and I write down what was on my mind while I was in the dream. And when I write it down, sometimes when I go to the second writing, I miss something that I wrote on the first page, or something I wrote on the first page is not necessary. And then sometimes what I use the first page of writing as an outline, and then I outlined on the first page. I pray this is making sense. It's just being consistent and persistent with self to get it done, but it's not just an, well, some people may say that they can write and the first writing is good. I know singers have done that. But when we're planning and forming strategies, our first thinking needs a little more fleshing out, if you will, and then we come, then other things will enter our mind. The more we read into what we've written, we find that we understand it. But when we expound upon what we've written categorically or outline wise, then we find that it makes for good reading when someone else is reading it, because and when we apply the pronouns and the nouns and the subject matters of, you know, the subject idea beyond just 2 or 3 words, but the whole subject, giving some reasoning as to why we are doing what we're doing. I'm such a detailing person in writing that I loved reading books where adjectives were used, describing the scenery, describing the mood of the person or the persons that's being met, describing the food, describing the weather, describing the setting of the house or what buildings are around. I love that. So for me, I can read pages that have descriptions, and I'm right there with the writer. Now, on the other basis of reading, and I'm in the medical field, and you're studying about the human anatomy and you're getting the medical terminology down, well, the explanation of it, you find the best writers when it's explaining the medical terminology or explaining the anatomy, and you're learning the muscles, you're learning about the reasons for exercise and the reason for breathing in and out, deep breathing, all of that. When our mind is focused on what we want as an outcome, I want to learn about being a therapist. Being a therapist is my outcome. Now I have to track back and find the things that will make me reach that outcome. I want to be a teacher, an educator. Well, track back. What kind of educator? I mean, do I want to work with students or do I want to do research? I'm a research person. I can work with students to have the research, the groundwork done, because then when you're speaking with students, you have a lot of reference material for them that they can do research on, and they will go further with that research, inshallah. So, alhamdulillah. All right, praise be to Almighty God. I'm going to stop for public service announcement, and if you have any questions or comments, I'd like to hear from you. This is on human relations. Yes, and we'll come back to goal setting. We have a lot of these on this personal, this family, this business, all about human relations. Stay with us. Stay tuned, as we will be right back. We're going to play a public service announcement, and we are in the midst of our goal setting, our goal that's been set for $10,000, everyone. I was earlier listening to Atlanta Masjid, and they have set $1 million goal, and they're apparently they're reaching it. I mean, you know, the more the merrier. But one thing about the Muslim community, we're all connected, so we can be of a benefit to one another. So where we stretch our dollars, now we have a reason for giving, right? So when we, if there's, I was telling my grandson, there's 100 masjid about in order for me to give $10 a month to each, that's $1,000. I said, so I'll have to back it up and do $5. I said, but that's $500 a month if I'm giving $5 to 100 masjid, or and not to mention the schools. So we have to, you know, strategically give funds, but give nonetheless. All right? Yes, give, and keep giving, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will supply our needs when we make the intent. As today, I was making Salatul Asr, I noticed my mouth was filling with water. And I said, wow. I mean, the secretion was just overflowing. And I said, wow, this is drink. Thank you, Allah, for supplying me with drink. So, alhamdulillah, if you have any comments after we come back from the public service announcement, please press 1 on your phone and we will entertain your thoughts, all right? Here's about scholarships.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain Information is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914 334-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Serial Conference and AM 360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
And you are quite welcome. Thank you. And everyone, as it is, it's time for Select with Marguerite. I actually am, yes, right here. So what I'm going to do, if anyone wants to take this moment for the next few moments while I make Salatu Maghrib, because I don't have anyone to lead, or someone is going to lead, then we can open your mic and you can lead. Since Salatu, we are on the same schedule. Whatever works. But as it is, I'm going to go and make Salatu, and I don't see any takers. I guess we're on a different schedule. That's my understanding. So if there are no takers on speaking through while I make Salat, then I will put on a short sharing. All right? And stay tuned here. I pray that your breaking fast is going well. Inshallah. Faith communities together. That's a public service announcement. Let me go straight to okay. All right. Well, this says the Ramadan session, part 6. This was 2004. Part 5, that's why we go to part 5 then right here, all right? Enjoy here. Let me put the sound down a little.
The son of the Almighty Allah is leading us. I don't see any way you can lead us. Not in be good people. You must have some bad in you that's blocking the way. Yes. So when we look at it and see how nature designed us, and nature gets her design from God. Mm-hmm. Yes. And don't think we're just newcomers. Oh, well, we're newcomers in this knowledge. We're the first one to see this way. No, the ancients saw it that way. The ancient, the very ancient saw it that way. The ancient that we call idol worshipers, pagans, they saw it that way. And that language of paganism or idolatry was only a language to hide their knowledge. They weren't that stupid. That kind of worship was for the ignorant, for the masses. That's why we speak of the modern world that keeps us out of the life that God intended for us. We call it modern Egypt, modern Babylon. Why? Because you're using the same old cheating strategies to cheat the masses out of their life that those ancient languages use, the ancient nations use. Whereas you have a little superficial reading of religion for us in our religious life to hold us back from the life that God has created us for. Those ancient people had myths and pictures and storytelling in which they had hit their sciences and their truth. You give us a superficial reading, you read deep. And you govern us, you are our master. Govern us, and you have blinded us. You have made us blind, and you are governing us. Yes, when God made us to see. Yes. This is these are the realities. I'm pointing to you the reality. Allah has not raised up the son of the eyes of Muhammad to point you to some cheap religion. So we're trying to see the movement that is going to bring the world to its conclusion. And these movements started in the beginning. And I think the Bible says somewhere in there, say one was chosen or selected, who when you look at him, looked like he was slain from the foundations of the world. Meaning that he was kept dead, or mentally dead, from the knowledge that built the world, from the foundation of the world. He doesn't know how the world was started. But God likes it because of his human constitution. And God selected him, and then God inspired him and raised him up to be the new builder. Isn't that wonderful? That is wonderful. Jesus Christ is a sign that God does not need the educated to save the world. Muhammad is a sign answering Jesus as a sign pointing to the reality. He's a sign too that God does not need the educated to save the world. Because he picked this man that didn't have any knowledge of what they use over the heads of the masses to rule the world. But God brought him into it. And I often think about how God puts it. He said, he was not there, speaking of Muhammad the prophet, peace be on him. See, he was not there when you were planning your meeting. I know the way he's speaking and what he's doing down here, you think he was invisible somewhere in your meeting, hearing everything and seeing everything you were doing. No, he was not there, but I'm present everywhere. God is present everywhere and knows everything. And I have revealed it to this man. He didn't get it from you. He didn't steal it, and you didn't give it to him. But you know he got it. So Allah says, they recognize as they do their own sons. Their own sons don't mean no flesh here. The reference to the evolution of man from blood, from water, blood, clay, and all that, to a complete body, is addressing two things at the same time. It's addressing our biological evolution, our material bodily evolution, but more importantly, it is addressing the evolution of our consciousness, where God expands the consciousness and enriches the consciousness and brings man to be a complete man in his mental makeup and in his soul and in his spirituality. That's what it's addressing. He brings the life of the spirituality to be clothed with flesh. And I used to weld, and sometimes we had to make sure everything was the material I'm working on in complete balance, the perfectly level and everything. And then we had to put something to it, and my form would say, make sure it's flesh. So flesh means more than just meat. In my profession, as a welder, flesh meant something else. So in the language of Revelation, flesh means something else. That means just meat. And in the gospel, it's plain there. I don't know how many Christians preachers understand it, but it's as plain as day. In the gospel, Jesus explains to his followers, his disciples, communion? The Last Supper. The Last Supper. Communion. The sacrament in the Last Supper. So he explains it. He says, quote, I'm quoting the Bible, not my understanding, not my language, the Bible. He says, the blood is the spirit of the New Testament. And the flesh is the doctrine. The doctrine. Now, that's plain as day. So, should I see Jesus Christ as a race, as a man, a Jew, or a white man, in flesh? No! Because Jesus didn't point us to look at flesh in that sense. He pointed us to look at flesh in the sense of spirit, says spirit of the New Testament. That means spirit and a body of knowledge. And he wanted us to see his flesh as the doctrine or the teaching or the meat of that body of knowledge. That's what he talks to. So here's the Bible interpreting itself.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ had words in the Gospel in the New Testament to interpret the mystery right there, plain as day. You think the Pope doesn't know that?
Yeah.
He couldn't be the Pope if he didn't know that.
Right.
In fact, he wouldn't even be a cardinal if he didn't know that. I'm not making fun of Church of the Negro. Church of the African American. And I do believe that our people, we always had a few who didn't accept things face value. A few always were trying to penetrate the darkness with their efforts to understand with their intelligence. And some of them did. So you can find preaching. You know, he might sing and act and look like those other ones, but you take it, go back home with him, and he'll talk to you and know he's different.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
He got the light.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got the light. So, to me, that's comforting. To know that even among those that have 90% of their people in the dark, we can find some that appreciate our life.
Yeah.
And see us as the living,
yeah.
And the body of the living,
yeah.
Which includes them and us. And us. Yeah, that's comforting for me to know that we're not alone. It would be very hard if we were alone. We got many friends and helpers among all the great faiths, even among the Buddhists, even among the Hindus, because all of these religions have come to their perception of the external world and man, or human, or how we are to relate to the external world, or how we are to live in this material creation. All of them have come to a knowledge of how we should live in this material creation. All of them. And all of them, all of the great religions, have respected the excellence of human constitution, of the human makeup. As God made it, as God created it. All of them have come to respect that. Look how they reverence Buddha, an image of a man.
Right.
And he's called not just a man, but he's the enlightened one.
Yeah.
Huh? Look how they reverence the enlightened man. Mm-hmm. That's a prophet, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Same for us. The enlightened man for us is a prophet. God enlightened him as a prophet, the messenger of God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And Hinduism, they have it in a much more intriguing stage of actors. But if you study it with respect, don't get fed up and say, oh, this is a bunch of mess here. This is an orgy of a freak, you know. Don't lose faith. Just study it with respect.
Yeah.
You'll come to the same conclusion that I've come to, that they have come to perceive human beings as the precious creation of God, are the most precious living thing that exists. And they appreciate that human being when that human being receives the enlightenment. When that human being has received enlightenment, is enlightened, educated for its purpose on this earth. Then they even make it a higher worship. Hindus. And the Buddhists maybe too. So we have a common saving source and saving force, common with Jews, Christians, Buddhists, Hindus, and their others. Even if we don't have a common ritual, our common culture, our common ideology. The ideology may branch off and when it completes itself, it differs so much from the other ideologies So we have to say Islamic ideology is not in common with Christian ideology, or with Jewish ideology, or with Buddhist or Hindu or other, right? We are distinguished. We are distinct in our constitution as a body of knowledge. How it's constituted and how it serves the world. We are distinct. But when we look at what has brought them on the path of progress to bring the whole world to better, to the best perceived idea, we see that they were aiming for the same thing we were aiming for. All the major religions aiming for the same thing. But I believe that they are more limited than Islam. I believe every other ideology I've studied is more limited than Islam. Because Islam is what brought about public education.
Right.
You hear that? It was the Prophet himself who demonstrated the necessity of giving education to the public. He didn't deny anybody, open to anybody that came up. And he taught you on a level that you are on. If you couldn't write well Arabic, he had teachers to teach him Arabic, how to write in Arabic, and how to read in Arabic. If you were higher, he had those to help you up on the higher level.
Right.
He formed the first public system for public education,
right,
formed by Muhammad the Prophet. When all other nations and societies thought that education, that kind of knowledge, should only be given to the elite that was to rule the nation,
right,
and
right,
not given to the general population.
Right.
It was Muhammad the Prophet. So we owe our system of public education to the dawning of enlightenment brought about by the Quran and our Prophet Muhammad. And this world knows it. The world leaders know this. The main ones, we are not these dumb ones. Well, I have used up all our time. But no, I haven't. Actually, every day, but say tomorrow and Sunday, I come, so you know, I should have told you this at the beginning, so you have it in your past. I come to join you for the midday prayer. It was Jummah today, so I came to lead Jummah prayers and to give the khutbah. I didn't lead the prayers, I asked for someone else. I asked for Qasim Ahmed first. He wasn't available here. So I asked for Imam Fareed, who accepted, graciously accepted, and led us in the Salat al-Jumu'ah. And I gave the khutbah, the speech, our lecture. There is no equivalent for khutbah. Sermon is long. Speech is not enough. Lecture is not sufficient either. So we just have to use the language khutbah. Khutbah. Yes. So I'll begin right after the Zuhr prayer. We might have something else that we consider important, like Saturday tomorrow. We are going to introduce the business interests, and they will bring that to your attention before I come on. And right after that, I'll be there present. It won't take long for them to do that. Maybe maximum will be 20 minutes. I'll be there present, and when they finish, then I will begin the session again to continue this session that we have. Yes, and I will continue until breakfast time, iftar. And I'll breakfast with you all inshallah, and then have maghrib prayer with you, and I will leave.
And we're back. Ah, how beautiful. That was short and sweet on a Ramadan session, 2004. Let me see, it was 2004, 2006. Okay, it was 2004. with Imam Warsi Muhammad. And you heard him reference the human being in relation to, and then his relationship with the audience that he was there with, all on human relations. And then he went on to mention about public schools, public education, who established it, who made it become well known, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. So where we are in seeing relations to the point that we see the human being, we see the physical, and we have to have internally in our mind, in our thinking, that this is a human being I'm approaching. And feet, I believe eye contact first, have that eye contact. And we can weigh out whether, as in today's society, whether we can speak or do we walk on by. Now, for myself, regardless of what I speak, and it is because I'm referencing that physical form without knowing what the thinker who's living within that physical form is like. Even with their conditions, whether they're poorly or well-dressed, and then the location where I am, responsibility, I believe, is to be human. And then, so we ask the question over and over, what does being human mean to you? Does being human mean disregard some and relate to others, or just relate to family? Or I've heard two people say they are a loner, and except one. Now, one of the persons now, they said they were a loner. Now they're acknowledging that they do need someone in their life. But the other person says, well, don't have anybody, any company. I'm good. So we're thinking about human relations. How do we exact from ourselves the importance of being human in relation to others, human relations? So we were reading, and if you have any questions or you want to make any comments, please, by all means, press 1 on your phone. I'm Martha Naila Abdullah, and I'm here with Community Developmental Stages. Our minds think on things, and we execute those things that we're thinking on. And many times, they have an adverse effect on us. And this includes the shootings. This includes accidents that can be avoided, could have been avoided. It is our relating to one another and our having in our mind that I'm to relate to another human being. So I'm putting the words under saying hospitality is the etiquette for humanity. And that's basing it on the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, his character. So as we go through our daily routine, and during this month, not allowing ourselves to have an excuse, expand our breath and within our thinking and expand it to the point that we step outside of that what we were used to, saying, well, this is me. And I'm speaking this in general because I'm expecting that others will listen to this presentation beyond those of us who are connected right now in the studio. We're probably in the same choir, right? We happily speak to other people. We're happy and we are quite eager to be engaged with people when we are in a crowd, in going to a function. Whatever that function is, we want to know if you are able to walk across the room, or you're able to go and approach others, and you're able to strike up a conversation sincerely, not animated, not robotic, but sincerely strike up a conversation and know that we are communicating with a human being. Share with us if whoever has the time, and if you're not saying your prayers or such, but share with us how you approach a group situation or an individual situation, especially if you're in a grocery store or something, and you don't have to. We don't have to go out of our way to speak to someone, but truly, someone, we're walking an aisle. If it's not the third time that we are meeting this person now, because I found it, before I realized, I spoke to you already, and then we struck up a conversation. Or if we're, mutually looking for something, and I would just start talking. I was saying, oh, wow, look at this. Isn't this beautiful? And if the person chooses to speak, 99.9 times out of 100, they will respond. And we each go our separate way. The point is, we are family. We are the human family. So we have to find that and incorporate a culture more extensively. It's being done, but more extensively, where it becomes an everyday habit, just walking and speaking and continuing on and seeing, that like we're in the midst of friends. Humans relating to one another. So anyway, press one on your phone before we go back into our reading if you want to share your experience and how you generate a conversation. And is it normal for you? Is it a routine for you? Or is it not? Do you feel strange, or you feel like you can't breathe because you just have to get out of the group setting? And especially when we do the chair rotation in our interfaith group, when we have gatherings and we have discussions, and you have to sit with someone, well, we request that you sit with someone that you don't know, and then we have strips of paper on the table that have questions on them, and the questions, they generate conversation, and everyone will go around the table and answer the question. It used to be generic, where we would just talk about our faith, what the tenets are, and now it gets a little more deeper. It gets a little more personal. It gets into your upbringing. How is it that you come into the faith that you're connected with? Is it because of your parents, or is it because of your own choosing? And then, your work. And did you start working where you're working as a desire that you had, or is it with a family business and you just, because you're in the family, you just kept the family business going? So those are some of the questions. And then it goes more into the community. What do you want to see happen in your community? If you could change any one thing, what would that be? And how much energy and effort you want to apply to making that change? Again, human relations. All right, seeing no takers, we're going to go to our information that we were reading from. And this is on, let's see here. Yes, personal, family, and business goal setting. And this, of course, as we stated, companies have a human relations department or human resource center, but primarily for human relations. And actually, I think the human relations from the business point that I was connected with was for conflict resolution. But they kept your personal files and things like that, but it was mainly primarily for conflict resolution. But if you, rather than wait for conflict, it's going to happen probably, but prevention. I'm a firm believer in that. Providing information, providing avenues where you can have those interpersonal relations, human relations, beyond reward and parties, but have those allow those conversations to be had so that different departments can get to know persons of another department, thinking of a hospital, of course. That's my background. Hospital or an outpatient registry, outpatient area or walk-in clinic, you name it, or in the home setting. If we have to have this interpersonal relation, and it's all with being human. So, alhamdulillah. Let me continue on, so don't keep repeating myself. I'm repeating because I know, well, continue on reading here. Again, this is from the Iowa State University, and this was updated August 2016. Personal goals now. Identifying and establishing personal goals provides the foundation for strategic planning. Personal goals are broadened into family goals, which lead to business goals and provide input into the strategic planning process. And that strategic planning process means that you know what the outcome that you're reaching for, but now you have to develop strategies to reach that outcome. But first you set goals, short-term goals that you reach, and you accomplish that, and then you get on to another and another. And everything is directed, though, towards that main outcome. You want to make $1 million, or maybe you want, like I said first, you want to be rich, you want to be happy. That may seem so elusive, but when you set the goals to reach it, then it's like you're pulling it in, like you're fishing, and you're drawing in the fish on your pole with your line, you're reeling it in. Well, that's what we're doing with our goal setting. And I often say, too, with our CWSC and with our group, that I love to take everyone, all the directors, fishing and have the conversation about goal setting and what you're reaching for. So when, even though you throw the line, you may not catch anything, but put forth the effort. Throw your line, cast your line, and then you still have to reel it in. Even if there's nothing on the end of it, even if your bait gets taken. All right. So now the personal goals, the strategic planning, personal goals are broadened into family goals, which lead to business goals and provide input into the strategic planning process. Everyone involved in the operation of the family business or the farm, this particular one is farming, farm business, should identify their individual goals. And can you imagine your household, and you're sitting around, and I'm not reading, I'm speaking now, and you're sitting around, and everyone in your family counts. We're all human, but everyone has an investment in the family, in being a part of a family. That's a major investment. I'm a daughter, maybe there's a son, maybe they're two or three daughters and two or three sons, and then there's mom and dad. Maybe grandma is living with us. Maybe some cousins are living with us. Whatever the case may be, everyone has an investment in when we say family, that means there's a makeup of people in that family, and every person is important. So alhamdulillah, or we make them become important, an asset to the family. So everyone involved in the operation, I'm reading, of the farm business should identify their individual goals. Personal goals may focus on accomplishments that provide happiness and fulfillment for you or someone you care about. Now, below here are some typical personal goals, and there's about 7 of them. 1. To maintain good health. How personal can we get, right? And how does that start? Brushing our teeth, washing our hands. Martha Nilo speaking here. Okay, 2. To have a trusted circle of friends. People we truly can get along with. 3. To be financially secure. Now, some may think that If you have $50 and you know your spending habit, I'm speaking of, you know, a young person, and you know your spending habit shouldn't take you beyond spending all of that $50 in the run of a month, perhaps, but you feel secure because you're able to save. Well, likewise with everyone else in the family, everyone should have a secure financial setting. Number four, to be involved and active in a religious life. Personal, but necessary. Number five, to finish a college degree. Oh, how long it takes to write a thesis, right? Or how long it takes to write anything, because you have to give thought to it. You have to do research. Have to, you know, when you provide a paper, you're putting your footnotes and all of that. It's worth it at the end, right? But praise be to Almighty God. Continuing on. To have and rear responsible, productive, and happy children. Now, we can set that as a goal. Perhaps we haven't had children, haven't found a mate even to think about having children. So we're speaking to the young people in the family. That should be a goal and a focus on in the back of their minds, that right now I'm 10, 11 years old, 12 years old, and, of course, I'm not thinking about having children, but I tell you, I've spoken with six-year-olds two different times, and mentoring them, I would ask, without a shadow of a doubt, I would ask without any opening for saying, do you want? How old do you want to be? I do do you want then. But how old do you want to be when you get married? So that's such a direct question. I mean, there's no outlet to say, oh, I'm not getting married. Mm-mm. 6 years old? How old do you want your husband? Is this a little girl? How old do you want your husband to be? And it becomes fun. But then it's setting a principle in their mind. Alhamdulillah. Everyone is valued and everyone is important. All right, continuing on. To be, last one, to be part of a loving extended family. Remember I mentioned grandma, cousins may be living with you. They may be living next door. They may be living on the other side of town. But to be a part of it, this means that we're going the extra mile, and it may be a normal thing for many of us, but we're going the extra mile to make sure that we are investing time, which allows us to develop patience, to be with family, and then there are neighbors, there are friends, associates, there are friends. Really, really trusting friends. And as we stated, this is all about human relations, human being human in every instance, not shying away from being human, not shying away from speaking to someone you don't know, not shying away from the etiquette of meeting someone and not having a closed mouth. You don't have to generate a conversation, but the speaking, acknowledging that that's a person that Almighty God created physically, and somewhere along the line, perhaps they strayed, or we ourselves strayed, the Ramadan, burning through those areas that we say we want to be delivered from now, burning through it, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us where we need to have a better sense of our being. Alhamdulillah. Please press 1 on your phone if you want, again. We want to hear from you. I want to know that this is generating true human relations. Community developmental stages is just that. We speak about mental health, but it's our perception of being human, I believe, that when we have our faith, then our belief system is generated through our action. It's shown up through through it in our actions. So if, when we can laugh and talk, and I've seen this happen, it's happened to me many times. We can be laughing and talking with someone else, and as soon as they approach someone, I've seen one, when they approach someone else that they don't know, their mouth is slapped shut as though that person doesn't exist. So Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I can imagine, definitely give a smile, definitely acknowledge the person's existence because he understands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's gift to us, and that we're not to take these, this being around one another for granted. Even our being in the presence of someone else, nothing is haphazard, we say. So meeting and being in the presence of others is not haphazard, and their being in our presence is not haphazard. And so we have to do the basics of being human, acknowledging one another. We don't have to like one another, and the man Warsi Muhammad Rahimullah has spoken on that. We don't have to like him, but accept the truth that is coming through him. Do something, let it become an advantage in our lives. So praise be to Allah. All right, we're going to go back to a public service announcement, dear listeners. And I believe we're going to connect now with Imam Abdul Aziz. I believe Texas will have Imam Omar Shakir, I think, but theirs is about 9:30 Central Time, so that's 10:30 our time. So, no. So we'll connect with Imam Abdul Aziz. I thank you for being here. The Ramadan sessions that are going on, the ones with Mosque Cares, the ones with in Durham, Raleigh, North Carolina, and here in Florida. Florida begins tomorrow. The Juma was not necessarily a part of it, but, you know, having Juma is definitely a step in the right direction, of being in the right direction, but not charging for it, you know, not putting it as a part of the cost factor. Juma is Juma, an obligation on us. So tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. begins the Ramadan session. Usually we have Imam Delaysi Umar Philip present for preparing to make it in the land of plenty. I plan to be in Fort Myers, inshallah, and whatever I'm allowed to present, I will definitely speak with you on air live, inshallah, at the 10 o'clock. I'm sure Imam Delaysi Umar will be there along with his wife, inshallah, Munira Habil Umar. And whatever we can convey to you, we will. Otherwise, we will begin with the Juke 24, everyone, tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., Imam Kareem Hamid, and then with Imam Kareem Hamid presenting Evolution of Revolutionary Thought and Creative Purpose. And then, of course, like I say, following that at 10 a.m., you will know more as we approach the 10 o'clock hour, inshallah. Fort Myers is where everything is being hosted at the Quality Life Center there that Imam Abdul Haq, along with the outer community, established under his leadership. So, I mean, very wonderful leadership, Imam Abdul Haq there in Fort Myers, and who is, I believe he's going to be there tomorrow, but I believe he's living somewhere else now. But nonetheless, the Quality Life Center there in Fort Myers is 2 hours away from myself where I am. So, inshallah, I look forward to that connection. Human relations. I'm going to say it so often that perhaps you'll go to sleep tonight and you'll hear the words human relations, being human. Etiquette. Hospitality is the etiquette of humanity. All right, I'm going to play this public service, these public service announcements, and then in the meantime, while they're playing, I'm going to connect us with Imam Abdul Aziz. All right, thank you, dear listeners. Thank you so much for being here with me. I love the relationship. Okay, public service announcement.
Let's see this one.
It's a new day. It's a new day for Alice Love.
In America.
It's a new day. It's a new day for Alice Love.
In America.
It's a new day.
I'm a Muslim here, Muslim here, Muslim here. Muslim. Today I'm a Muslim too.
I'm a Muslim here, Muslim here, Muslim here. Muslim.
Today I'm a Muslim too. Today I'm a Muslim too.
I'm a Muslim here, Muslim here, Muslim here, Muslim.
Today I'm a Muslim too.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. This is something so near and dear and special to my heart. I have been a member of the family of American Muslim 360 for about 4 years now, and most of you have witnessed my transformation. I think it is so important to donate money because I really feel American Muslim 360 is the one to heal the racial tension and division that still exists in this country, which posts, I have to say, most of my Caucasian, you know, counterparts and friends do not know or understand, because we have been raised on the slave master mentality just as much as you have, and really thinking we're very elitist, or we've been so bombarded with white images to think we're superior without even realizing. Caucasians are not aware of the deep-seated indoctrination that we still have that goes on, and we're not even aware of it, and that's what makes it so deadly. You know, we're actually in this day and age saying someone's playing the race card, meaning we're refusing to look at the problems that are existing for African Americans still today. The Black Lives Matter movement, I was so shocked to have somebody in my Caucasian friends actually say, you know, well, all lives matter. But it wasn't at the time, it wasn't other lives that were being killed, it was black lives that were being taken away. It's not just the teachings of W.D. Muhammad as far as racism, but it's also the Islamic factor. As a non-Muslim, I have benefited so much from listening to your perceptions and ways of looking at things and dealing with life, and I've incorporated them. You know, if it wasn't for American Muslim 360, I would still be of that mindset. My family from American Muslim 360 awakened me to this. I began to see things much clearer, things I hadn't seen before. I'm an example of the transformation that can happen in this country. And I feel American Muslim 360 and the teachings of W.D. Muhammad can heal the racial divide in this country. So please donate money. Keep American Muslim 360 not just alive, but on this journey of healing that for our whole country, where we can get past what happened in the past and we can work together. Assalamu alaikum.
Praise be to Almighty God. Well, Imam Abdul Aziz has not started yet, and I was looking for a Masjid Ansar in Miami because they have been doing live as well as Atlanta, but I'm not seeing the current one that's prepared. So we will continue on. We will continue. Well, let's see here. Yes. It's a phone number. I don't know what it is about, but we'll continue on. If you have any comments you'd like to share, please by all means do so. Press 1 on your phone. That was a different message to Alan Sar. There's 2 in Miami. And praise be to Almighty God. All right. Okay, I'm hearing the Adan, which tells me, let's check on the Imam Abdul. No, not yet. As you may be well aware, there are many messages that are open right now, carrying on the Tarawih prayer, Isha and Tarawih prayer. So we would love to connect. But in the meantime, let's hear from you. Let me go to my screen here, please. I know it is time for Isha prayer. I do hear they're done here in the household. So what we'll do, I was waiting for my screen to get on. When it does come up, I'm just going to go to Imam Warsi Muhammad, the other part, I think it was number 6 of the Ramadan session, continuing on. All right. We'll do that. And I'll check back and forth with Imam Abdulaziz. I have his number, his conference line number on, but I won't merge until they're ready. All right. Imam W.D. Muhammad, Ramadan session. All done here. Okay, let's see. One moment, I'm going to type in Ramadan, and then we'll be back. Dear listeners, you're listening to the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. I'm Martinella Abdullah, and we're here with Community Wise Shura Conference and Community Buzz. If there's something happening that we're not aware of, then you want to share, please press 1 on your phone as well and share with us what is happening. I was venturing throughout the country on Facebook to see where various activities are going on. And true, as of next week, even there will be, excuse me, one moment, please.
That ain't too much for the Egypt you just left.
Yeah.
Or for the Egypt you're in. That's not too much for that. You don't have to be in this great Egypt that you're in now. You go to any Egypt. I mean, any community, any civilized community, you see. Write the word mission. Mission holds the secret too. The name Egypt holds the secret itself. Cairo holds a secret. I explained something to mean of Cairo to you, what it means. And the word mission holds a secret. Now, you know, the Egyptians have never accepted to be called Egyptians at home. No Egyptian will refer to themselves as an Egyptian, to another Egyptian. He calls himself Misri, means I'm a mission from Misri. Yes. Yes. So go to any Egypt for these little small things. And believe me, that problem is in the Quran. Nothing is in the Quran as an issue for mankind that is not universal. So you'll find the people in the mindset of ancient Egypt, you'll find them in other parts of the world. Of that same mindset. They might have developed their world differently, but they were the same mindset. And you'll find people of this small mind in many places of the world, not just in Egypt. So that's why I said go to any mission and you'll find that. You'll find people who get a little knowledge. See, a knowledge is likened to the structure that embodies the knowledge. You see? So, those flimsy plants, they represent flimsy knowledge. You know? If you're a tomato in your intellect,
your fruit is heavier than your bones. Or your muscles. And in time, if you don't put something to support your body, support your rising up, your fruit is going to bring your whole body down to the ground. I know because I'm also a gardener. My mother made me a gardener. She was the first to make me a gardener. And I love gardening too. The tomatoes get so heavy, they bring the little weak vine down. And you have to dust the dirt off of them, wipe the dirt off of them. Sometimes you may lose a few because something, insects or something on the ground will rot it, cause it to rot. Yes. So these things are flimsy in their logic. The body, the bones and the strong parts of it represents the strength of their reasoning and logic. So those that are, I'm giving you the comparison, so you'll be able to read knowledge in material pictures. In pictures, they give it to you in material matter, of material matter. Yes. So grace, a little flimsy body, right? Flimsy support, pardon me, for the product. Actually, the body is what supports the product. Flimsy support for the product. And if it didn't crawl up by vines on things, it couldn't raise up high, could it? The weight would pull it down, keep it down to the ground, even on a low level. And that's what they use to intoxicate the mind. They ferment, cause it to ferment, to have another spirit. They give it another spirit. And then it intoxicates the mind. Right? Yes. Well, ancient civilizations use grace. And they use grace as a sign. And that knowledge we're talking right now did not originate in Judaism or Christianity as well. These religions came much later, and they took knowledge from these ancient people, and they incorporated it into the scripture. A good Bible will acknowledge that. That the Bible is not just revelation. The Bible is history. The Bible is myth. The Bible is constituted of different kinds of knowledge. And the Quran acknowledges that too in different ways, but the language is acknowledged. That these things come from people of old, and that they were given, the ancient nations were given these things, but they did not obey the nature that God created them to evolve upon, and they consequently did not come to God, and they departed from the way and lost their establishment of their civilization. They are civilizations that passed away. That's how the scripture gives it. Passed away, having not reached them all. Another reference to this reality that I've been addressing now for a long time. Another reference to it, don't forget, I mentioned firstly, I said Jesus Christ, didn't I? Jesus Christ is a sign. And Muhammad. Okay, don't forget that. It's very important. And then I mentioned the clocks. The clock of God and the clock of mankind. The time piece that God created to keep time. And the time piece that man creates or makes to keep time. And I mentioned the Word of God, coming into the world and serving as guidance to guide man, that is to help his nature. This, I keep telling you all, and I keep telling you this, because I know what this will do for your intellect and your heart, if you will accept it wholly as I'm giving it to you. Not in part, accept it completely and clearly as I'm giving it to you. I know the great benefit that will come to your intelligence and to your heart. It's important to understand that when Allah says, Deen al-fitratu laki aktharam nas alayha, the religion of origin, or But Howard is translated in Abdullah. And Abdullah is the translation that we use, the translation we use in English. 30, the chapter 30, ayah 30. The religion of, how he puts it, I won't hear English. Can you open it and read it? I'm not in frame here. So we can read it. We want to read it the way he gives it. I'm explaining this to you. The religion of origin, but he doesn't give this word language. I'm giving you that language, origin. I'm going to read it. And so it's heard by everyone. You don't have to come here close.
Set our faith steadily and truly to the faith. Establish Allah's handiwork according to the pattern on which He has made mankind.
Pattern. Okay? Thank you. He used pattern. The old translation that we use of Muhammad, I say old because it's a little older than this one, Muhammad Ali's translation. Gives it in another way. He gives another. He doesn't say this pattern. He gives another one. But anyway, he says pattern. It is pattern. Pattern is correct. But does Fitra say pattern exactly? No. Fitra to Leti. Fitra is the word we're talking about now. Fitra. Fitra, the verb that we form from the same root that fitra, we get fitra, is fatara. Fatara. And what does fatara mean? Fatara means originated. Originated. Brought something about that was not in existence before. It means originated. Fitra is the noun form of the verb fatara. So it's something that is in its original state. It's in its original state. So the deen and fitra means the religion that is of the original state or the original constitution of man, how man constituted originally. This is man. This is not something that was on a book. This is not referring to some ideology or some revelation. No, this is referring to the nature of the human person. Deen al-Fitra means that this is a religion of your origin,
yes.
Of how you were originally constituted as a human person, as every baby is, as Adam was, as Adam, the first man was, and as every baby is from his mother. This is a religion of that. Then the church says to him the same, look, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It was good enough for mom and dad, it's good enough for me. That religion that is suited to my God-given creation. Me in my original nature and state as a human person. Innocent person. Loving person. Person ready to become a member in the society, in the family, or in the social order, and go along with that order, not a rabbit. So this is what it's all about. Deen and fitra to leti fitra nasa alayha. God is saying that I didn't fashion man or evolve man. Fitra. Fitra too. Look at the word fitra. Deen and fitra, and then God says fitra. Use the verb. Deen and fitra to leti fitra. Of the same origin, of the same meaning, God speaks of the noun, the form, noun form, the established form, and then he uses the word, the verb, the action, fatara. He did that. So he is the one that created the fitra. God is the one that created the Tikkun.
Yeah.
The original nature for man to evolve upon. That's exactly what it means. Now, in the birth of Jesus Christ, you have a scene. The world has a scene. The scene is a scene of animals and a child exposed to these animals. And these animals are not bothering or disturbing that child. Huh? And it's called what? The nativity. It is called fitna. It is called fitna. That means fitra. Nativity and fitra are the same. Whether you accept it from me or not, I'll give it to you. Nativity and fitra means the same. And these are the signs of how God makes human life in accord with his law for all living things.
Yes.
That's what it's saying. And these if you were a part of the life, all of these lives can live together. Human beings can you trust your baby with animals.
Yes.
Not animals in a zoo. Animals among human beings.
Yes.
The lamb of the human.
Yes.
The sheep. The sheep of the human.
Yes.
The donkey of the human.
Yes.
The rabbit of the human.
Yes.
All of these animals, if they all respect my design, my pattern for their evolution, you all can lay together and not fear any harm coming from one another. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Yeah. So here comes the Quran addressing the same realities that the Bible, the Jews, the Bible that addresses the Jews, the Christians, addressing the same realities. Essentially the same reality, and help us to come into more and better understanding, a clearer perception of these things. So it is a tafsir itself. The Quran itself is a tafsir. Before we do our tafsir, the Quran itself is a tafsir on what went before it, or what was revealed before. Okay, that's good. So if you will accept, as a few of you all have, and one of them that I know have completely accepted my explanation, is a Harvard graduate. You can't be tight-headed. Or maybe being headed. Good for bean ties, but not good for understanding. You can't be maybe being headed and receive what I got. It takes too long. I have to soak here for many nights. They didn't cook you for 2 or 3 hours. They're feeding you up. Oh, there's a quick way to soak now. Sisters, you cook, the brothers too, they like to cook. There's a quick way to soak now. You take your beans and you wash them. You put them in water and you boil them for about 15 minutes. Bring them to the boil, let them boil for 15 minutes, cut it off. 2 hours later, come and cook your beans. And you can cook them in maybe 1 hour. Save gas. Now you can give my tip or my pay to the mosque. Thank you. Now, Allah says in the Quran that He has made the earth a place for you to be gathered. From it He brought you. To it He returns you. And He promises us that He will raise you up again from it. This is what Allah says in the Quran, but it's in also other scriptures. And in the Quran, in this line of communication or revelation, God says, there, in the earth, you will find the fulfillment of all your aspirations. There, you'll find the answer, the fulfillment for all of your aspirations. Allah didn't create us to aspire for something outside of the reality of His creation that He made. If you want to become alienated from His creation and His plan and His reality that He made for our reality, this flesh body, you are losing yourself. And you will never find your own self. You'll be lost from even your own self. But if you want to find all of your hopes for the fulfillment of your life inside of this rim or inside of this context we call the objective world, earth itself, you're on the right track and you will grow and grow in more achievement and in more happiness. Yes? Hence, Muhammad said, and Allah has revealed it. He said, when they are brought to consciousness and the world comes to them, the world after, or here, they will say, why, this resembles what we had before.
All right.
And that's your natural, that's your original fitrah. That's your fitrah. My fitra does not want something different from the wife I have now. If I'm going to have a wife, give me her. That's my choice now. You think if I die, I'm going to change my choice? Dead? I don't know. My choice is dead. So if I'm going to have one in heaven and paradise, I got my choice already.
Okay.
And if God fulfills my dream or my hope, I expect to see her or something looking just like her in paradise. And that goes for every other, all my other aspirations. I desire to be free from this perishable body. I desire to be free to praise God forever. Free to serve Him forever. I never want to stop serving Him. So death is a sad note for my life. Yes, I don't want to stop. I want to serve Him eternally. That's in my fitra. Yes. So no one has to dream up of an ideal plan for my life, or an ideal world for me to live in. My nature speaks it to me. My own nature, as God created it, speaks to me of the world that I want hereafter. Huh?
Yes, sir.
God says, Alam najal al-ardha kifatan. Have not we made the world sufficient to serve your need? In this life, the world serves our material needs, and there is enough. If you look at all of the produce of the earth, farmers can produce and do produce. And how much is denied the trip to the market by law. They can't take it to the market. How much is plowed under? How much is burned up? How much is given in charity? And there's a limit on how much they can give in charity to starving nations, etc. Why? Because this is also giving these nations is also an instrument that is in the hand of government to bring these nations more in line with what they want them to have as a nation. So no, you can't give too much. They're not good. You can only give to these old kids. You can only give as much as I will pay you to give. So that's quotas, right?
Yes.
So Allah says, have not I made enough you? Now, we're finding out now, this is my conclusion, we want to see this world as Allah wants to see it. And we want to be free from these bad ways of seeing things so that our souls will be happier and more productive.
That's right.
And our life will be pleasant and more productive.
That's right.
That's what we want.
Yes.
Okay. So, smoking now, they tell you. But how long has the generation been smoking? But now they tell you. If you're a pregnant woman, you're smoking, you can produce a deformed child. A deformed child. And when I was a boy, we thought all deformities was Mother Nature. Blaming Mother Nature for all the deformities that man's world was causing. Now, if smoking is causing that, couldn't there be other things in man's world causing other problems that we're blaming on Mother Nature? Is it possible that maybe God did create human beings in a world, in a natural world, that was so beautiful and supportive of their life that they had no diseases? They had perfect health and beauty? Huh? Is it possible based upon what we have learned here recently? From science. So don't doubt the promise of God. I believe the promise of God is firstly for the living.
Yes.
In their bodies.
Yes.
And that we one day will realize the world in our biology. Oh, but my biology is going to be dirt by then. No, it will not. You left your biology if you had a child. You left your biology in your child. Don't be so damn selfish. Can't you live in your child? Aren't you more happy with your child getting something than you getting it? I am. I want for my child.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنا أنزلنا عليك الكتاب للناس بالحق ومن اهتدى فلن نفسه ومن دل فإنما يدل عليها وما أنت عليهم بالوكيل الله يتوفى الأنفس حين موتها والتي لم تمت في منامها فيمسك التي فقد عليها الموت ويرسل الأخرى إلى أجل مسمى إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون أم اتخذوا من دون الله شفعاء قل أولوا وكانوا لا يملكون شيئا ولا يعقلون قل لله شفعاء جميعا له الملك السماوات والأرض ثم إليه ترجعون وإذا ذكر الله وحده ما عزت قلوب الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة وإذا تذكر الذين لم يؤمنوا به إذا هم يستبشرون قل الله عالم الغيب والشهادة عما تتقوم وبين عبادك فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون ولو أن للذين ظلموا وما في الأرض جميعا ومثله معه لافتدوا به من سوء العذاب يوم القيامة وبدا لهم من الله ما لم يكونوا ليكتسبون الله أكبر سمي الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين
وبدا لهم سيئات ما كسبوا وحاق بهم ما كانوا به يستهزئون وإلى المساء عسى نضره دعانا ثم إذا كولناه ونقمة منا قال إنما أوتيته على العلم بل هي لفتنة ولكن أكثرهم لا يعلمون قد قالها الذين من قبلهم فما أغنى عنهم ما كانوا يكسبون فأشباههم سيئات ما كسبوا والذين ظلموا من هؤلاء سيصيبهم سيئات ما كسبوا وما هم بمعجزين أولم يعلموا أن الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء ويقدر إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يؤمنون قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب وبلى جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم وأنيبوا لله ربكم وأسلموا له من قبل أن يأتيكم العذاب ثم لا تنصرون وتلبئوا أحسن الماء وانزل إليكم من ربكم من قبل أن يأتيكم عذاب بعد تأتون وأنتم لا تشعرون أن تدخلها النفس يا أسرتي على ما فرطت وفي جنب الله وإن كنتم لا Tamina Mistakiri. Allahu Akbar. سمي الله لمن هامدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم والطولي. آمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أو تقول لو أن الله لهداني لكنت من المتقين. أو تقول الحين لترى العذاب لو أن لي كرة فأكون من المحسنين. بلى قد جاءتك آياتي فكذبت خوفها واستكبرت وكنت من الكافرين. ويوم القيامات لترى الذين كذبوا على الله وجوههم مسودة أليس في جهنم مثوى للمتكبرين. وينجي الله الذين تقوا بما فازتهم لا يمسهم نصر ولا هم يحزنون. الله خلق كل شيء وهو على كل شيء وكيل. له المقاليد والسماوات والأرض والذين كفروا عليهم بإيمان بآيات الله أولئك هم الخاسرون. قل أفغير الله يتأمروني أعبد أيها الجاهلون. لقد أوحي إليك وإلى الذين من قبلك لئن وقال يقبضن عن مولك ولتكنن من الخاسرين. بل الله فاعبده وكن من الشاكرين. وما قدروا الله حق يقدريه والأرض جميعا ما قبضته يوم القيامات والسماوات ويت وباليمينه سبحانه وتعالى عما يشركون. الله أكبر. سمي الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. التحميد لله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. 9:24. I just don't know where the time went. I do know it went. So we pray a lot that we did something within that time that allow us to something, and that we do something with the time left that amounts to something, and to that we say, I mean. Okay, so today, this morning, we read the Quran here in the masjid. We stayed here. We had an excellent time. And we had completed the 23rd Jews. And so now we're starting on the 24th, which is later on tomorrow. But I do know that there were some very, very important points, significant verses of the Quran that stood out to many people. And my advice to everyone who is reading the Quran, studying it during this month of Ramadan, take into consideration that you're studying for the purposes of you becoming better than you were last year. You're not studying so that you can become better than the next brother or better than the next sister. No, you're studying to become better than you were. You understand? If you can be better than you were, then you're ahead of the game. You're not behind if you're better than you were, better than you used to be. You understand? Nobody wants to think and talk about that, huh? You see? And so that gives you an opportunity to do that. We pray Allah blesses our community to do so. And to that we say, I mean, we're not going to be too long this evening. However, we are going to pray eight raka'ah, and then we're going to cut it off. And for those of you who want to establish wudu in your homes, you can do so. But to get up later on in the night and pray, you know, whatever number of raka'ah you like to pray, and then make wudu after that. And then tomorrow when we're here, inshallah, we're going to be praying it here. But inshallah ta'ala, we don't intend on being here in the masjid this evening long, because you want to get back and try to make some kind of adjustments in your home. And then set out for tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to be the eve before the you know, us seeking out the night of power again in the masjid. So we ask Allah to continue to bless us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to increase us in His guidance, and increase us in strength and understanding and application of this religion. And to that we say, I mean.
فإذا قمت إياه
منبيين وشهداء وحكم بينهم وبالحق وهم لا يظلمون وغفيت قلوب النفس ما عملت وهو الأعلم بما يفعلون وسيق الذين كفروا إلى جهنم زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها فتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزيناتها ألم يأتيكم رسول منكم يتلون عليكم آيات ربكم وينذرونكم لقاء يومكم هذا قالوا البلى والتي حقت كلمة العذاب على الكافرين قيل ادخلوا أبواب جهنم خالدين فيها فبئس مثوى المتكبرين وسيق الذين تقوا وربحوا إلى الجنة زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها سلام عليكم طبتم فادخلوها خالدين وقالوا الحمد لله الذي صدقتنا وعده وعرفنا الأرض نبته وهو من الجنة حيث نشاء فنعم الأجر العاملين الله أكبر
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وترى الملائكة الحافين من حول العرش يسبحون بحمد ربهم وقضي بينهم بالحق وقيل الحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حميم تنزل الكتاب من الله العزيز العليم دافئا من وقلب لتوب لشديد العقاب لكل موطون لا اله الا هو اليه المصير ما يجدل في ايات الله الا الذين كفروا فلا يذروك فكلهم وفي البلاد كذبت قبلهم قوم نوح وأكثر ومن بعدهم وهمت كل أمة برسولهم أن يدخلوه وجادلوا بالباطل يدخلوه به الحق فأخذتهم فكيف كان عقاب وكذلك حقت كلمات ربك على الذين كفروا أنهم أصحاب النار الذين يحملون العرش ومن حوله يسبحون بحمد ربهم ويؤمنون به ويستغفرون الذين آمنوا ومن واسعت كل شيء رحمة وعلما فاغفر للذين تابوا وتبعوا واستغفروا
wound and hug me down. Oh, Lord, my God. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ربنا وأدخلهم جنات عدن التي ومن صلها من أبائهم وأزواجهم وذرياتهم إنما أنت عزيز حكيم. ولقيهم إلى سيئات ومن تلق إلى سيئات يومئذ فقد رحي متاه وذلك هو الفوز الأليم. إن الذين كفروا ويعادون لمقتول بل من مقتكم أنفسكم إن تدعون إلى الإيمان فتكون تكفرون. قالوا لمن علمت الناس نيل وأفجيتنا نفين لفت طرفنا بدروبنا فعل إلى الخروج من السبيل ذلكم بأنه إلى المؤية الله وحده يكفركم وإن يشرك به تؤمنون فالحكم لله علي كبير. هو الذي يريكم آياته وينزل لكم من السماء رزقا وما يتذكر إلا من يبنيه فادعوه المخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون. رفيع الدرجات يطول على العرش يرفيه روحا من عمره على من يشتاهون من عباده لينذر يوم الفراق يوم الفراق يوم هو بريزون لا يخفى على الله منهم شيء لمن لم يكن يوم لله الواهد القرحار. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اليوم تجزى. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الجنة تجزى كل نفس بما كسبت لا ظلم اليوم إن الله سريع الحساب وأنذرهم يوم العذاب إذ القلوب لدى حناجر كاظمين ما للظالمين من حميم ولا شفيع يطاع يعلم الخائنة الأعين وما تخفي صدور والله يقدر بالحق والذين يدعون من دونه لا يقدرون بشيء إن الله هو السميع البصير ولم يسيرون في الأرض فينظروا كيف كان عاقبة الذين كانوا من قبلهم كانوا هم أشد منهم قوة وأثارا في الأرض فأخذهم الله بذنوبهم وما كان لهم من الله من واق ذلك بأنهم كانت تعاتيهم رسولهم وبالبينات فكفروا فأخذهم الله إنه القوي شديد العقاب ولقد أرسلنا موسى بآياتنا وسلطان مبين إلى فرعون وهامان وقارون فقالوا ساحر وكذاب فلما جاءهم بالحق من عندنا قالوا اقتلوا أبناء الذين آمنوا معهم واستحيوا نساءهم وما كيد الكافرين إلا في ضلال الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده
ربنا
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين. ربنا وتقبل دعاء. ربنا وتقبل دعاء. ربنا وتقبل دعاء. اللهم ربنا إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. يا أرحم الراحمين. يا أرحم الراحمين. يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ربنا إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم لا أنت لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد والمرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم
وعليكم السلام Yeah.
Okay.
Alaykum as-salam.
Okay, so tonight is a short night. Tomorrow's we'll be in here again,
seeking
the night of power. We just want to thank all of you for joining us, whoever did join us, and we want to tell you that you're in our prayers.
And likewise, amen.
Okay, you okay?
Yes, we're fine. Thank Allah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right, dear listeners, as we have ended with that, I'll just start off with the Shafu and Witr prayer. So we will, you can, of course, at whatever hour you intend to make your prayer, you can. And, inshallah, we will join together again at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for Evolution of Revolution. Well, for the recitation first. Excuse me. Yeah, the recitation, the 24th juice, from 6 to 7:30, inshallah. And then at 7:30, Imam Kareem Hamid will come on after hanging up from the juice. And he will begin his day of the evolution of revolutionary thought and creative purpose. Again, following him at the 10 o'clock hour is usually Imam Dereisi Umar. He may or may not present, but I know we'll be in the same surrounding. And inshallah, we will connect. All right? It was like Al-Islam in Focus will be at the 5 o'clock p.m. time. 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A solution, Al-Islam in Focus. I was thinking of critical issues there, right there. All right, let's get to some music. If you have any questions, please, by all means, press your hand. Press your 1, and it'll raise your hand, and we will entertain your questions, inshallah, or your comments, if you have any. Otherwise, we're going to go to our ending musicals that we've gotten in the habit of sharing now. Okay, let's see. You know, we love to share Wali Ali's Fearing Thee. Moment. My screen just went. Alhamdulillah. But we pray, you know, that you really are truly enjoying your fast, embracing whatever difficulties are there. And definitely through this, the deliverance part, truly embracing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has elevated the human being. And as we had the opportunity, how timely that was with Imam Warthdeen Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh. Let's see here. My screen has really taken on a different mode here. Okay. That away. Okay. Okay, we're looking for Fearing Thee by Wali Ali. There it is. Oh, well, it's there. Okay. Hearing me. Enjoy.
Yeah.
born to go out. Man was born to win that bout. Fearing thee is what made him brave enough to go out and face the world. Archery man, he came up from the dead, made his home on the sweet earth down here. Loved him deep, made him love enough to go out and face the world. Making a life believe,
loving
a creature of fear, performing Christ's
teeth,
loving thee, made him love enough to go out and face the world,
go out and face the world,
sweet talk deceived him. Her brought him to thee. Never count him out. Faith wins over doubt. Poor lost sinners, poor squires are winning. Fearing thee, so I made him brave enough to go.
Loving
thee, loving thee, made him brave enough to go.
Fearing thee,
what made him brave enough to go out and face the world?
Brave enough to face the world.
A country man dear came up from the rear.
Loving
thee, made his home on the sweet earth down here.
Fearing thee,
never count him out. Faith went over down. Firmly maybe they make it in like
all the Lord to face the world.
Oh,
oh,
never count him out. Very cool
world
and down.
The
fearing thee, loving thee, making a life for thee. Oh, 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 yeah.
Love enough to face the world.
Made him love enough to go out and face the world.
And here's why. One more. Don't give up. This year, you have to be thankful. I believe we can get a little more specific than this. Don't give up. We'll be right back. All right, let's see if this is Imam Wilma Siddiqui here, everyone. Oh, I had forgotten about that one song, everyone. Praise be to Allah. Yes. Feast of Children. All right. We go to, let's see, same old song, and then we'll go to, thank you. Allahu Akbar. All right. In my prophecy, now, we make our chapel with them.
Early in the morning, saying a prayer. Bedroom's fresh fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs. Tiptoe by the bedroom where my children sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls in keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and little helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends I'm left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He say, mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Back to colors, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright, they gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
they gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
All the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, we've got to be thankful. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. It is such a blessing to be in this time, in this month. Praise be to Allah. Thank you all for being here. Inshallah, mashallah, we will be ready and rolling 6 a.m. to hear the 24th juice. Allahu Akbar. And you know the next 4, 5, or 6 days are going to go so fast. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Well, praise be to Allah. All right. Well, I'm going to be up, God willing. I'm just going to be up and reading Quran, asking Allah's mercy and forgiveness and deliverance. Bundle them one. And prayerfully, you're doing the same. If you have any comments you'd like to make before we turn off, I mean, it is right upon us, everyone. I've really enjoyed tonight and your being there. Oh, here we are. 810-285. Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam to you, Martha Nyla. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Love that is the freestyle.
Alhamdulillah, you know you got it going on. Oh, and assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak to the AM360 listening family as well. Now, don't y'all get started. But you know it's the night of power, don't you know this? Alhamdulillah. I want to thank you so kindly. And you're absolutely right. Allah got it going on for us this year, you know. And I so enjoyed you this evening. I enjoyed the program immensely. And thank you so kindly.
Alhamdulillah. You know, we pull it out of each other. You know that. And when we, I mean, everyone knows that there's only so much time in a day. But when we really plan our day and we strategically study and ask Allah for guidance on what we study, and then we're bubbling over. We want to share it so much, right, the preacher? We want to share it. And we just, it's like, spout dripping around.
I've been hearing you ever since this morning, girlfriend. Ever since this morning, you've been on a roll.
I hear you. I pray Allah SWT sustains me through this next week. I can't tell you what the following week will look like. But inshallah,
yes,
I'm burning the candles at both ends. I tell you, praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Well, I ain't going to keep you now. It's time for us to head on out so we can get up and be here early in the morning. Well, we love you, dear, and we thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Alaikum assalam. Love you back. Ramadan Mubarak. Everyone, we love you, love you, love you. And inshallah, we will be together again. Assalamu
alaikum. Inshallah. Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes, dear. Okay, love it. Okay, Allah, please bless us and guide us and protect us. And none can guide and protect and bless us better than you and forgive us. Oh, Allah, just grant us whatever you will. We submit. I mean.